Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So today, we're taking questions from you and comments. If you're watching, we're here. It's Monday. We are alive. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So last week we put out this question and we got beautiful responses. This was the question. What can we do to support our priests? Which is a beautiful question, and we have some beautiful answers that we want to talk with you
all about.
It's
great to hear the diversity of ways that people are actually undergirding, supporting priests. We want you to call into this show and let us know the ways that you are doing that as well.
Yeah, and there's a new movie. It's called Jesus Thirst. It's the miracle of the Eucharist. And this film takes viewers on a spiritual journey and brings our faith to the big screen. And it's showing only June 4th, 5th, and 6th in select theaters. Check online at www.jesusthirstfilm.com to see where it's playing near you.
Well, Joe, we wanted to make mention of a friend that passed away, somebody known in our diocese, beloved. Roman Selig III, 1945 to 2024. He was married to Peg for 55 years, three beautiful children, grandchild. He was an engineer, Vietnam veteran, members of the Knights of Columbus for 45 years, Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus. Very self-effacing guy, just a servant of the Lord, beloved by his family. I think he had five other brothers.
And a sister.
He was the youngest of the brothers.
He was the youngest, yes.
But wanted to mention him in relationship to the question of the day today. How do you support priests? When we attended Roman's funeral, and it was a very powerful time, wonderful time. The family was so impacted. But the priest got up, Father Kelly, and when he started his homily, which was a very short homily, but he got up and expressed condolences to Margaret, to Peg, and to the family. But then he immediately said, and I want to thank God for the many kindnesses that Roman showed me. And I thought, well, I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. A priest simply say about someone else, I want to thank God for the many kindnesses he showed me. Will your priest say that about you at your funeral? About me? I was just saying, I never heard that before. I don't know if my priest would say that about me. He didn't say what the kindnesses were. And it was an interesting choice of words. It wasn't like, you know, that Roman's a really good man. Roman's a holy man. I think he was all that. Mm-hmm. But he said he was kind.
Yeah.
He did kindnesses to me. And kindness is beyond good. Kindness is good, but it's a tenderness. There's a special touch there, like when we took someone in to stay with us that needed a place to sleep. And so we decided this guy's safe enough, we'll have him in. We gave him a bed. So I set him up in the bed, and then you came in and you had a candle with an aroma to it. You lit the candle, you put flowers there, and I'm like, what are you, like, the guy's got a place to stay, isn't that good? But you said, no, we want to do something nice.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind. I'm good. You're kind. Good and
you're kind.
But kindness is that way. And
yes.
So this priest was saying, there are people who are kind to me, who are not only good, but that are kind to me. And so we're speaking about what can we do to support our priests. 1-800-221-9460, 271-290, 205-271-290. There must be another digit there. Maybe it's
2980.
Okay. So how do you support your priests? What are you doing? How do you undergird them? What shouldn't we do? So we want to hear from you. Give us a call. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, remember that today we're taking your questions on our show. So if you're watching, it's Monday. We're very alive. Give us a jingle. 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, 205-271-2980. You can always send us an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So this was the question for you. What can we do to support our priests? Do you even think that our priests need support? And so that is important. And we're going to have a great show this week. And we're going to have Seven Sisters Apostolate, Jeanette Howe with us today.
Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. And that's going to be wonderful. But there are ways to support your priests. Are you praying for your priests every day in your daily prayers? Or what are you doing, ways that we can fortify them, strengthen them, be a blessing to them? And then hopefully when we die and it's our funeral, our priest can say, she was a beautiful parishioner. He was a great parishioner. He was very kind to me.
Thank you for your many kindnesses to me.
So beautiful.
That was beautiful.
That was wonderful. Well, we have on the phone with us Debbie Zeller. Now, Debbie is the mother of our beloved friend, Father John Paul. So, Debbie, we want to welcome you to At Home with Jim and Joy.
Thank you. Hi, Jim and Joy. It's so nice to talk to you again. How are you doing?
We're great. Now, we want you to tell our family, because you are the mother of a priest, what are some ways that our viewers can support their parish priest?
Okay. One of the things that I did is I got involved with the Seven Sisters Apostolate. And I was asked last year in September, you commit to 1 year where you do a holy hour a week, and that holy hour is dedicated to a certain priest, and I was asked to pray for my son. And when I go there, what I'm doing is, you know, asking Our Lady to draw him closer to her and just praying, saying different novenas, different litanies, and just having some time sitting in that silence and thinking about how important our priests are to us. Because, you know, without the priest, we wouldn't have the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So spending time in adoration, to me, if you can do that, say the rosary, there are just so many things that we can do to support our priests and just to pray for them, because they need our prayers. We need them.
Yeah, they need our prayers, and we need to be a pleasing child. We need to be a good sheep of theirs, not one that's going to trouble their waters, but one that's going to be a blessing to them. If they ask us to do something in the parish, and we pray about that, then yes, we say yes to that, and we serve our priests.
Debbie, what does it mean for you not only to pray for your son, but to know there's six other women, sisters, that take an hour a day to do nothing else? They're not praying for a variety of people. They're praying for a priest, which happens to be your son. What does that do for you, not only as a one of those sisters, but as a mom, to know the dedication of women on behalf of your son?
It just makes my heart really happy, because I know how important adoration is for my son, Father John Paul. And to have, you know, six other women go and spend an hour praying for him, praying for his soul, praying for his ministry, it's hard to put into words what it does. And sometimes it's almost surreal when I look at my son say Mass and I see him consecrating that host and turning it into the body and blood of Christ. Because when he was studying in seminary, that's all he wanted to do, was to be a holy priest. He talked about that all the time. I just want to be a holy priest. I can't wait to the day when I can consecrate that host. And he's very reverent. You know, you all know him. And it just brings me joy, and it brings me peace, because I'm not with him a lot, you know, living out in Colorado. But it gives me peace to know that other people are praying for him, taking care of him. I know all the care that you do to take care of him, Jim and Joy. And it's like he has a second family out there.
Yes.
And it's like these six other women, they're my sisters too, because they're praying for my son.
Debbie, thank you so much. It's beautifully said and gives us a good picture of the seven sisters, which we'll be sharing about on Wednesday and Thursday. God bless you, Debbie. Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jim and Joy. I'll be in your neck of the woods next week. Or no, the end of June.
Can't wait to see you.
Good.
So there we go. Everybody knows prayer is critical, that we actually pray. And maybe you can't do an hour. Maybe you can. We'll speak about that on Wednesday and Thursday show. Maybe you want to begin a Seven Sisters apostolate where you are. But we must pray. Now, one of the things that Father does, you know, our priest, is that he lives up in Massachusetts. He's down here in the Deep South. Periodically, he goes back home. He really lets us know when he's going and why he's going. And so most of the time, it's, you know, I just want to visit with my family. Other times, it's somebody's ill in my family. It's my favorite aunt or uncle who's sick. My mom's not doing well. There's a celebration. And he mentions the name of his mother. And so when you, if your priest does that, then, you know, I take note of the mother's name, and I know the mother's name, and I actually, we pray for his mother, or the uncle, or somebody that, the repose of the soul, or we have a prayer card that we'll send. And so it's important, if your priest is opening up and sharing why he's doing what he's doing, you need to take note of it and pray in particular, because he's a person just like you, and he's part of a family that has all these beautiful things and not so beautiful things and births and deaths and so on. And he's given his life to the church, to the bride, to this church. And when he mentions somebody in his family, I really feel like I need to take note of that, pray. And then I say to Father, how is this person doing that you mentioned? How did things go with that funeral, Father? So glad to have you back. We're remembering you. So note what he says and speak back to him what he says so that he really knows you're connected with him on this.
Right, and it's also important to know your priest's birthday. So you can send him a birthday card, or you might want to get him a little gift card or something. Also, know the anniversary of his ordination, so you can celebrate him then. Do you even send your priest a Christmas card? That's really important, just simple little things.
Well, you, go ahead, babe.
When I leave Mass, I usually say to any priest, and I hadn't seen Father in a couple of weeks because we've been on the road a bunch, I say, Father, thank you for feeding me the bread of heaven. Nobody gets to do that except the priest. And like Deborah said, without the priest, you and I, we don't have the Eucharist. They need our prayers. They need our support. They need encouragement, you know. And what I got to see this from another side. I got to be your wife for 22 years when you were an Episcopal priest. After Mass is not the time to have a deep conversation with Father. If you need to have a deep conversation with Father, make an appointment. Call him, write him an email, do something. Because, you know, there are so many other parishioners who are wanting to greet him, and maybe that's the only time they're going to get to greet him too. But just hug him, bless him, whatever. Father, thank you for that great word. Whatever it is, something to support him. Something, not words of, Father, you didn't take care of this, and blah, 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 blah. Don't gossip about your priest. If you can gossip about your priest, then you can pray about your priest. And so that's important, especially in this month. Here we are in the month of June, as if we can believe it, we're halfway through the year as time flies. It's Father's Day, right? And so Father is your spiritual father. And so you are you going to send him a Father's Day card? Are you? There's just little simple things that you could do. One of the things that I like to do, and you always assist me with this.
That's why I was going to interrupt you. I was going to say this one. Go ahead.
Well, no, you say it.
Well, you know, I don't know how many holidays, everything else. I mean, you're always cooking and baking and so bringing something to the priest. You also do the deacons, and you do key staff. And it's like, you do this like seven or eight times out of the year. You're going to lose your blessing because we're telling you. But I have to carry it in. Sometimes I'm a little embarrassed because it's all this stuff and food and I bring it in before. But the priests love it.
They do.
The deacons love it. And they'll write you and say, you know, it was just what I needed when I got home. It's a little something sweet, a little. And you do that. And it's an outward invisible sign of your love. It's a kindness. That's what it is.
It's a kindness.
It's not expensive. But you put love in what you're doing, and I think they feel that.
Right. And it's just, you know, okay, so let's say you have a parish of 10 families, 1,500 families, whatever it is. Is somebody know your priest's birthday? Do you know anything about him that you could particularly pray? Are you praying daily for your priest? We had a friend, priest friend, who retired. So yesterday at St. Mary Magdalene in Media, Pennsylvania, Father Ralph Chifo, Monsignor Chifo, he retired. And your sister Camille said the church was packed. They gave him standing ovations. Yeah. I mean, the people of God loved him.
Yeah.
And so you want to be able to do that. You want to be able to be a blessing. And if you have an issue with your priest, anybody who does a little chitter chatter, I say, then go and tell the Blessed Mother. Blessed Mother, I have a problem with your son. And guess what? Let the saints take care of it. You know, you don't need to gossip. You don't need to just be a good sheep.
And you don't
be good.
And you don't need to be a part of the gossip. You
right.
know when it's starting to develop, just silence it. Don't say anything to it. I think we have a comment here, Joy.
Yeah, we've got a lot of comments, okay. And this was one comment. We can support our priests by not condemning or gossiping about them or judging them and accepting them as human as they are. With their faults and their frailties, bless our priests, dear Lord. And this is from Benita on Facebook.
And
the other thing is, you know, you and I don't know the warfare that priests are going through. They're getting up in the middle of the night. You might think, oh, he's a little grumpy, he's a little tired. Well, guess what? Maybe he spent 2 hours at the hospital at another parishioner's bedside. And for confession, you just have to pray for him that he's given wise counsel. Pray for him when he's preparing for his homily. When you walk into church, just start praying for your priest. They need our prayers. Something gentle and simple, encouraging. You want to be a blessing because he's God's beloved son. And you want to make sure this side of heaven, you did everything you can to support your local priest.
Well, what the last person said is just really important. Your priest manifests Jesus and walks, but he's a human being.
Mm.
And he's flawed and fails, and we've known it with scandals, everything else. But are we talking about the scandals more than we speak about praying for his chastity, for his holiness of life, to be kept in the midst of temptations, to know his own forgiveness, to have fellowship with other priests and good relationship with his bishop where he could really open up and share his heart? How are you supporting your priests? We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up our show today, we're going to go to Rome to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis. Now, Joan's going to be sharing about the beauty of the Feast of Corpus Christi and how it was celebrated yesterday in Rome.
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy, from my home to your home. Now, as you know, we have just celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi, and for many years, for the traditional calendar, this feast was always the Thursday following Holy Trinity Sunday. And that was always a mass by the Pope anyway, here in Rome, a mass, a procession down Via Merulana, and then blessing of the people with the Eucharist at St. Mary Major. Now from 2013 to 2017, Pope Francis followed that particular schedule. And then in 2017, he said that he would like to see the Feast of Corpus Christi be on a Sunday. I think he felt that more people would be free to come out for a mass and for a procession. And so in 2017, that was moved to a Sunday. Now in 2018 and 2019, that feast day, the mass, the procession, was celebrated outside of Rome. Then in 2020 and 21, because of COVID restrictions, there was a celebration only in St. Peter's Basilica. And then in 2022 and 23, because of health issues, the Pope did not participate. There was surgery 1 year and his ongoing knee problems another year. Now, the Holy Father this year, however, 7 years later, reprised that schedule. It was on a Sunday, but he did say Mass in St. John Lateran Basilica, and then went to St. Mary Major, where he blessed the faithful with the Eucharist. Now, he did not do the procession down Via Marulana. However, he did receive the Eucharist from a bishop of Rome, an auxiliary bishop of Rome, who had carried the Blessed Sacrament to St. Mary Major. And the Pope then said about the Eucharistic procession, he said it's not just a flamboyant exercise of faith, but rather it is a way for all the people to participate in the bread of the Eucharist, in the new life that Jesus has given us in the Eucharist, by being with us in his body and blood, soul and divinity. Now, interestingly enough, the procession goes back to about the 1400s, but the precise route used today was created in 1575 by Pope Gregory XIII, and he actually built the road that leads from St. John Lateran to St. Mary Major Basilica. At the time, it was called Via Gregoriana after the Pope, and it is now Via Marulana. And so that procession was followed for about 300 years, then it fell into disuse a bit, and then it was, of course, revived in 1979 by Pope John Paul. And he walked that route. It's a kilometer long. He walked that route all the years of his pontificate, except a few of the latter years, but 1981, of course, he had been shot in St. Peter's Square in May, and then in 1994, he had hip surgery. And then beginning in 1995, there was a canopy-covered open vehicle, and the Pope was seated in a chair. In front of him, a kneeler, and then on a table, a mini altar, was, of course, the Eucharist. So anyway, this is a very beautiful, very old feast day, and I'm sure where you all were, it was celebrated in a beautiful fashion. So time's up here. Back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for all that you put into that sharing. A lot of facts there I was not aware of. Just enriches so much the feast of Corpus Christi. Join us next time for a conversation with Jeanette Howe, where we will discuss how we can support our bishops and our priests through the power of prayer, to give them that gift, to undergird them in prayer. And so join us again. I want to say to you what we always say to you. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone in the midst of your joys and your sorrows. And you're always at home with Jim and Joy. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Bye now.